All right, if you wish to follow along, my text is found in the last couple verses of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. I will read Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise," or that is, for in whatever way you got to get it done, you get it done, "in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God." Notice that is in parentheses, but it is absolutely vital. "That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." Of course, as those of you who receive my text every week about my upcoming passage that I'm going to preach on, you, if you receive that, you already know what my title and my subject is: Redeemed from the Curse. Redeemed from the curse. What a glorious thought for any son or daughter of Adam to consider that they may be redeemed from the curse. Amen. And in particular, as we will see in this message, redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
What a thought. According to our passage, one hanged on a tree is accursed. That's what it says, doesn't it? One hanged on a tree is accursed. I'm not going into some of the ramifications of some of the things here about, you know, the death penalty is valid with God. I just mentioned it. It's valid with God.
Yes, sir.
Even amongst men. Now, it's valid with God toward us. God will kill us when he's pleased, and we'll have not one word to say about it.
Exactly.
But when one is hanged on a tree, accursed, the Hebrew word means vilified. Held in contempt. Despised. But note that this person, though it may be true, that's not the point. This person may be cursed of men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's not the problem.
Exactly.
It says, accursed of God. Did you see that?
That's what I said.
His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him. For he that is not buried is... No, that's not what it says. He's cursed of God whether you bury him or don't bury him.
Exactly.
You bury him so that your land won't be defiled.
Amen.
You see that? The one hanged on the tree is accursed.
Amen.
I don't care if you give him 100 one of these.
There you go.
And you sprinkle him with thousands of those.
Yep.
If he's hung on a tree, he's accursed.
Amen.
But he's accursed of God. Exactly. That is saying something. That is saying something. This very briefly stated law has one noted benefit in the law. The land be not defiled. Is it not true?
Yeah.
The land be not defiled. And it's difficult, yea, probably impossible for us. It is impossible for us to be as though we could just forget everything else in the Bible, but only what we've learned up to this point.
Yeah.
And we read this law, it's just another law. Is it not?
Yep.
Is it not? As this is on its own, there is no hope here.
Exactly.
There is no gospel here. And yet the gospel lies underneath in this one law.
Yes, sir.
Manifested forth in the glory of God's message concerning his son.
Yeah.
And here's what happened. Here's what happened. Hundreds of years later, I didn't sit down to count them out, but you could get close. Hundreds of years later, God lights up his grand gospel marquee. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but I'm telling you that God's gospel is a grand marquee. It's not something we secretly pass out in a few little Bible tracts trying to hide from any repercussions we may get. It's not leaving them Bible tracts in the restroom at the truck stop.
Yeah, you're right.
It's about confronting men and women in compassion, graciously. Oh, God, I wish I could have always done that. I haven't always done that. But confronting men and women with the person and work of Jesus Christ. And here's this grand marquee. Now, here is my text. Thought you had it, didn't you? Well, you did. I gave it to all of you when I sent it to you. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law, what are they? They're under the curse.
Amen.
They're under the curse. Now, this is a different curse than the one of our text in Deuteronomy, but it's cursed nonetheless. Why? They're under the curse, for it is written, cursed. This is what the law says about itself and those who are under it. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you're going to keep the law for righteousness before God, you must keep it all perfectly.
Amen.
It's not our best, most sincere shot.
You're right.
And it's not we keep the law as far as we can, then we let Jesus fill in the gaps. That's not the gospel.
You're right.
Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law. And here's the thing. In the sight of God.
Amen.
In the sight of God, Paul says it's evident.
Yes.
And yet it's not evident to everybody, is it?
You're right.
But it is evident. Even the Old Testament tells us this. The just, that is those who are just before God, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
Yes.
And then immediately he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Being made a curse for us.
Amen.
Now he didn't redeem us from the curse of the law by regenerating us.
No, you're right.
He didn't even redeem us from the curse of the law by regenerating us and converting us by the gospel.
No, sir, you're right.
Those two things are essential things, but they are the outcome. They are the effects of what Christ did when he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us in our place, in our stead, in our room. For it is written, and here he quotes from our text in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, but cursed how? Of God.
Amen.
Of God. Here Paul by inspiration plugs in the marquee. And it says Christ was cursed of God. That's the whole point. Now, although Paul doesn't use it there, that's the whole point of the law he's quoting from.
Yes, sir.
Cursed of God. And in the Greek it means denunciated.
Exactly.
Anathema.
Yeah.
Malediction. To reprobate, or that means to reject.
Yes, sir.
You know what Isaiah wrote? He was despised and rejected of men. That was true.
Yes, sir.
It was true. But that wasn't the thing.
Exactly.
He was despised and rejected of God the Father in such a way that the Father forsook him.
Amen.
And he cried out in agony on that tree when he was feeling. And I can't explain it, but it says it in the Psalms. Christ's own thoughts, or at least words. Some of the words, some of it may have been his thoughts, Joe, inside here.
Yeah.
Some of these things he cried out, and the New Testament writers recorded exactly what was in the Psalms. And he says, my guilt is ever before me.
Yes, sir.
He had no guilt. But yet he did.
Yeah.
When our guilt was laid on him. Yeah. Consider Christ being hanged on a tree made him vilified, held in contempt, despised and rejected, and God had to turn his back on the Son because he seen sin in the Son.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a glorious thing.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read you something. Give me just a moment to get it called up here. And this is by Matthew Henry. Let me read what he wrote. Matthew Henry says, "Glory ground, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 6, verse 14. "Come and see," he says, "the victories of the cross." The cross is horrendous.
Yes, sir.
Because the Lord of glory was made a curse.
Amen.
So that the Father, in such a way, I can't even explain it all. I don't have the words to, that we, there's nothing we can relate to. God has never abandoned any of us.
Exactly.
Never has. Yeah. Even when we were lost, he hadn't turned his back on us,
sir.
Joe.
That's right.
Listen to what it says. Let me get back to it. "Come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are your healings. His agonies are your repose. His conflicts are your conquests. His groans are your songs. His pains are your ease. His shame is your glory. His death is your life. And his sufferings, they are your salvation."
Yes.
Why? Because Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do it? By being made a curse for us. Now, did he redeem us?
Yeah.
When he was made a curse, or did he not?
Amen. That's it.
Well, we believe he made it possible. That's not what this says.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, everyone sitting here, if you were redeemed from the curse of the law, you were redeemed from the curse of the law before you ever even existed.
Yeah. Amen.
You were born dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yes, sir.
And born under the law. And later on, in your unregenerate state, you may even have felt the pangs of the law, God opening your heart, eyes, and mind. But you still, in God's sight, were never under the curse of the law. Do you hear me? Because we were redeemed from the curse of the law. How and when? When Christ died on that tree. As a matter of fact, I'll go even further. His death was so sure in time that he's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So I got reason to believe that my redemption began with God even way back yonder. God didn't send his Son so he could get in the mode of loving us. He sent his Son because he did love us. But I'm saying to you this, whoever he did that for, they are redeemed. They're redeemed from the curse of the law. Yet some still insist that Christ hanged on a tree was his attempt to make redemption possible. I say, no, that's a lie.
Right.
Now look, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now think about it. Here we see cause and effect.
That's right.
The cause is Christ made a curse.
Amen.
And then it says that. That means what he's about to say is an effect of what he just said.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
the meaning. I mean, I'm not an English scholar, but I know that much.
Yep.
That the blessing of the Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, but it's more than just that.
Yeah.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. What did I just hear? Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? Somebody says, but preacher, it don't say shall here. It just uses the word might. And they're right.
Yeah,
but you hear that voice? But let me say one thing. Even if it said shall, the rebels still wouldn't believe it. Because there are other places it has shalls. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. They don't believe that one either.
You're right.
So if it said shall, it wouldn't make a difference to the unregenerate now, would it?
Exactly.
But actually it says much deeper than shall.
That's right.
Here the word might, which is used as a first cause and the second cause. First effect, second effect. From the cause. The cause is Christ being made a curse. Right. Then there is effect and effect. He uses the word might. Might come and might receive. And of course, in our English today, usually the word might is used in two main ways. One that means power. Yeah. Right? Another one, might is, well, it might and it might not.
Exactly.
Right? It's iffy. It's iffy. But that ain't the words in the Greek.
Exactly.
That ain't the words in the Greek.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, God's gospel, this grand marquee's lit up, and you can't put it out. Oh, you may silence me, you may silence Joe, Paul, you may silence this assembly, but God will have his witness in this world.
Amen.
They tried wiping us out back in the dark ages, and they couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do it. Many of our brothers and sisters had to run underground, and it seemed as though the gospel marquee was out forever, but it was still never out. It was still never out. And here we are going all over the world, preaching the gospel in places I'd have never thought my voice had ever been heard. 100 years ago, it was impossible.
Exactly.
Now it's every day. It's just an everyday occurrence. That's an everyday. Boggles my mind. Now, I'm not going into the Greek. I fell in love with the Greek language and learned just enough of it to forget more than I even learned. But I know how to still study it. Now, here it is. Might come. The first part of verse 14. You know what that word might come means? To cause to be. That's the meaning of the Greek might. Now, I don't care what the English meaning of might is. This was translated from Greek, so the might we're talking about is the Greek might.
Yes.
Might come, it means to cause to be, to generate. To generate, to come into being.
Yeah.
The second effect is this, might receive. That's in the last part of verse 14. You know what this means? To take, to get hold of. And in the Greek, it says it itself. If you go to the Greek, some of the good Greek books, it says, as opposed to having it offered to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
As there's another Greek word, might, that is offer.
Exactly.
This ain't either one of them.
That's right.
And this is two, you know, our word might in the English can be used different ways. This ain't the same Greek word used two different ways. This is two totally different Greek words.
Exactly.
This is stronger than even shall, if such a thing is even possible.
Exactly.
Because we see the foundation upon which it lays.
Amen.
The person and work of Jesus Christ the Lord. And if he redeemed you from the curse of the law, you will have the blessing of Abraham in God's own time, in his good, sweet grace and mercy and providence. You'll have the gospel rush in and flood your heart, mind, and soul.
Amen.
And then you will believe that gospel.
Amen.
And then you will be sealed with the Spirit of promise. Now, isn't that what Paul told the Ephesians?
Yes, sir.
It's what he told the Ephesians. No, we ain't talking about possibilities here. Mm-mm. What Christ secured when he was vilified, when he was held in contempt, when he was despised, when he was rejected by his Father, he secured the Abrahamic blessing.
Yes, sir.
He secured it.
Amen.
He secured it. By his ignominious death on a tree. Now, you know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
He died there in public disgrace.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah. And most of the pictures, or even the little icons, or pictures of Jesus hanging on the tree, it don't do justice to what he went through.
No.
Even physically. Right. I mean, they beat him to where you could not recognize who he was.
Exactly.
They beat him that bad. But that's not all of it.
Amen.
He that's hanged on a tree. Why didn't they just beat him to death physically?
Exactly.
And he died for our sins.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had to have God the Father turn his back on him. Or else if he did not, God would have to turn his back on me.
Amen.
And on you. And you. in you. I want to be one of those people. Don't you? This filthy, weak-wristed gospel preaching that's going on today, men don't fear that God. But they hate the one we're preaching. Why? Because they fear him. They know they ain't got this God over a barrel. Jesus ain't waiting to let us, let him have his way. He is having his way with us, whether he sends us to hell or sweetly takes us to glory.
Amen.
Takes us to glory. This ignominious death, it wasn't just before men, it was before God.
Amen.
I could understand a little. I've been disgraced in front of other people before. I've messed up and publicly been disgraced. That's happened to me. That hurts. I mean, it feels like your heart, your emotions is up in your throat. You know, and your eyes begin to well up. And you don't want other people to even see you crying because you're so ashamed. Yet you know you ought to lay on your face. But we're not talking about just before men. He suffered this before God the Father, because everyone that's hanged on a tree is accursed of who?
Yeah.
Of God. And let me tell you something, the glorious gospel is this: if he did that for you, you will be okay.
Amen.
God will bring the blessing of Abraham upon you.
Amen.
And this book teaches me, it's already been mentioned, but he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness really does.
Yes,
God's righteousness. That righteousness that is found only in Christ. What does the book say? You hunger and thirst after that righteousness. What did Christ say? He shall be filled. That's good news.
Amen.
Now, Jesus done all he can do. Now it's up to you. If God ever shows you what you are, that won't be good enough for you.
That's exactly right.
That won't be good enough for you. And that secured our getting hold of this blessing.
Amen.
The reason I have it, if I have it this morning, is because of what he did some odd 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you believe that he did secure that? That's what believing's about. I'm not just the history. Well, I believe Jesus died for our sins, buried, and rose again. Do you believe that he is who he says he is, and he accomplished what he said he accomplished when he died on that tree?
Yes, sir.
That's believing the truth. Faith is not accepting the historical facts of Christ dying on a tree. No, faith is resting in that truth that when he died as a curse by God, he redeemed me from the curse of the law.
Amen.
The law now has to say, Walter Pendleton must go free.
Yes. Amen.
I am completely satisfied.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Now think of this as I begin to close down. Paul wrote this to a specific people. Turn back to chapter 1. Look at it. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. And is that you? Is that you? No. It's not you, is it? Paul had no idea we'd even exist. I got no reason to think he had any idea. Paul was hoping Christ was going to return before he even died.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
When he told the Thessalonians about those who will be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, he included himself in that.
Yeah, he
did he not?
Yes,
and we, which are alive and remain. Now, there's people that argue all about that, how he had to be alive when Jesus come back. That's a whole five-headed horse of a different color.
Yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying? Paul didn't write this to us, did he?
No.
But look at what he included in this. Turn to chapter 3. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? That's a normal question, would it not be?
Yeah.
God forbid.
Amen.
For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, because that was our problem.
Yes, that's it.
And the law can't give you life. All it can do is kill you. If they're going to give it life, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, notice the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Amen.
Do you see that? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. It was coming, Paul said. And for some, it had come. And look, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. But then look at what he says. There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Amen.
So he ain't just writing just to these churches, is he?
You're right.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. So if we're in Christ Jesus today, this applies to us. If you believe the Christ of God today, 2,000 years ago, he redeemed you from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Just believe him. Rest in him.
Amen.
And if you be Christ, then are you a Hebrew?
Yeah.
A Jew?
Amen.
That's what he says, doesn't he? Then you're an Israelite. Then are you what? Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
And heirs according to the promise. While Paul didn't know about us, there was one who did. That's called God the Father in both the person of Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
I must be. And I don't mean that as though God owes me anything. I must be one of those, or I'll rightfully go to hell under the curse of the law.
Yes, sir.
If the curse was done away with for everybody, there is nothing to condemn us for. And that's the whole teaching of this whole book.
Amen.
From cover to cover.
Yes, sir.
As Earl used to say. I want to be one of that number. Do you?
Amen.
I'm persuaded there's some of you here. That's your one. You're a lot of things you like in this life.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things you hope for in the next. There's some people I'm looking forward to meeting. But it's only and will only be because of one other person.
Yeah.
That's Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord.
Amen.
And I believe this book that he died for me. Why? Because I'm ungodly. And this book says he died for ungodly
Amen.
People.
Yes.
God, take these words, smash them into our hearts and minds and ears. Make us love them and rejoice in them. In Christ's name, amen.